This conference is being recorded.
Good. So welcome to the telecon of the North American region of Dances of Universal Peace. And this is sponsored by the Board of Directors. And this is Lucinda Abbey speaking, and I'm one of the Board of Directors. This is our sixth regional conference, and we started this program about a year and a half ago. So the topic tonight we're excited about is the MTG guidelines, which have been recently renovated and presented to us by the Mentor Teachers Guild. And we have many representatives from the Mentor Teachers Guild tonight with us, and we've asked Darvesha and Malika to be our speakers for tonight, and we've worked out a program so that will be lots of time for questions. The question and answer period, we'll announce that when that happens, and then you can unmute. And perhaps quite a few people on this call, maybe we can do that by just see how if it works out that as you have a question, you can unmute and announce your name, and then we'll call on you to ask your question or make your comment. So. Malika and Darvesha have both been instrumental in my life as a dance leader. I've been reading through the Mentor Teachers Guidelines, and on page 5, item number 3, it says, it's essential to walk in the footsteps of experienced dance and walks teachers. So I consider myself to be blessed with the experience of having spent time with both Malika and Darvesha, and so happy to hear them tonight give their presentations. Also on page 5, it talks about presence, magnetism, and balance. These qualities should be spontaneous in a good teacher, and I think that both of them have those qualities. On page 6 of the Mentor Teachers Guidelines, Mentor Teachers Guild Guidelines, it says, we wish to follow the example of Murshid Sam, whose life emphasized open-hearted service and generosity. So I think that both Malika and Darvesha have exemplified those qualities. And I'd like to start with asking for a blessing for our call tonight, and perhaps I could ask Darvesha to lead us in invocation.
Thank you, Lucinda, for such a beautiful introduction. I'm actually feeling kind of teary. That was quite complimentary, thank you. Together then, toward the One, the perfection of love, harmony, beauty, the only being, united with all the illuminated
souls,
form
the embodiment of the Master, the Spirit of guidance.
And then we haven't discussed whether Malika wants to go first or Darvesha. And I was thinking that it might be wonderful for us if Malika would introduce Darvesha and Darvesha would introduce Malika with a little bit of what your role was in forming these new guidelines. So, Darvesha, are you prepared to speak first?
All right.
I'd like to ask Malika to introduce you then with a few words about what your role is in making this letter.
Malika, are you there?
I was talking into the mute.
you got a dress rehearsal there.
Well, I was saying that to begin, I'd like to acknowledge that Halima is on this call, and she also was an integral part of this process, as was Tansen. But in the spirit of the two of us, Darvesha and I, being asked to do the presentation, Darvesha was a wonderful chair, I must say, of our group. I don't know what to say except that she was always there and spearheading, and was ahead of us a lot of the time and kept us on track. And well, Darvisha, I don't know what else to say about you except that I love you. We all have worked hard, I would say that. We all did quite a consummate job, and we are hoping that the guidelines will be received and will be read, and we're happy to, to bring some further understanding or some deeper awareness or some clarification as is possible tonight in our call.
Thank you, Malika.
Mm-hmm.
So, Darvisha, you have the floor, and please enlighten us as to what the changes are in the guidelines and what process you went through and what you would particularly like us to take note of tonight.
Okay, I will just highlight, I think our overall intention was to emphasize or reemphasize the spiritual nature of our responsibility as dance leaders. And by spiritual nature, I mean the heart-centeredness and egolessness and whatever else. I mean, just to reemphasize that when we are leading, that we are, in fact, guiding prayer, spiritual practice. And that way, as we emphasize that, we felt to de-emphasize somewhat the mechanical aspects of the process. So that was our overarching goal, I think. We also wanted to re-emphasize that the walking meditations are an integral aspect of this work, of this lineage, and to relocate the identification of the dances in their home as a ray of the Sufi Rouhaniyat International. That is their home, always has been their home. But again, we just wanted to rephrase it so that that might be more clear to people. And we wanted, along those lines of de-emphasizing the mechanical aspects, we also wanted to de-emphasize the idea of attaining certification as a reason to walk beside a mentor, and to emphasize that the real work with the mentor is to walk with the mentor and to benefit from the dynamic, interdependent relationship, and that walking with is the emphasis, that relatedness is the emphasis of the process, not certification. We restructured a bit about the mentoring. Again, we have found over these 20 years some pitfalls. We see we have the benefit of retrospection. The pitfalls of this mentoring track, which it seems to us has been some kind of misguided understanding that mentoring is a higher designation of a dance leader, that if you're a good dance leader, then you should be recognized by becoming a mentor. And we try to emphasize that mentoring is not a recognition of a level of dance leadership. It is a path unto itself. It is a guidance teaching path. It's the path of the mothering instinct to support and empower the children and serve. It's definitely a path of service. It's not a path where the mentor's being acknowledged. And this has been something we really want to try and see if we can help people to really be with self-analysis, self-investigation, really deepen into the question, am I meant to mentor? Is this my calling? And as Juan is asking that question, to really understand that this is not a further trajectory of my leadership skills. This is it's a new skill. Many have had practice as counselors and teachers. Many good dancers have not been counselors or teachers, and learning to mentor is a new skill for them that they have to develop, and they could find themselves good at it, or maybe they'd find themselves not so good at it. So we actually have opened a door for mentors to self-evaluate and really question whether or not this path is for them. We've also changed some of the criteria in the mentorship criteria. We've simplified the mentor nomination process. And we've also decided that mentors in training will need to have worked with two mentees before they can become appointed as mentors, rather than only one. The reason we did this is because we find that the mentors that only have one mentee in general, as a generalization, are usually not, it's just one person came to them and that was that, and they just aren't the ones that are generally the most engaged in the whole process. So not that those are magic, not that two is a magic number either, but by the time a couple of people have approached them during the mentors, worked with them and had the hang of it, then they seem to be more engaged in the process of mentoring. We shortened the previous document considerably, removed the application form, changed the numbers of categories of dance leaders and mentors from 9 to 6, and redefined the ethical guidelines. One of the main things we've done is put a new focus on the what is now called the Leaders Guild. Before, it was called the Teachers Guild, but it was always mentioned in the guidelines, but it never was activated. So we are activating the Leaders Guild. This is such an important piece that we want all dance leaders now to feel that they are a unified body, that we all belong to. And we've created a listserv for the Leaders Guild, which is called In the Garden, and the way to subscribe is written in the guidelines. And so let's see. A big part of the document is a new section we call Elements of Mastery, which we hope will help guide leaders and mentors in their continuing development. And I could ask Malika and Halima. I didn't hear Halima check in. Halima, are you here?
She's probably on mute.
Oh, I didn't hear her on.
She
Come
and
on.
Abraham have checked in.
Yes, they both did check in.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, I'd like to ask of you if you wanted to add anything to that.
Hi, I'm here. Sorry.
Hi, Halima.
I was muted.
Yeah.
Okay. Go ahead, Malika.
Oh, I thought we were asking you. I would just say
either one of you, yeah.
Okay. That's all I have, except I'd like to clarify on the mentors in training working with two mentees. It would be two mentees who have developed, who not just simply now they are working with, they have taken their second mentee or second student, but it's seeing the development that happens in that process, as well as the development of the mentor in training. So I just make that little clarification about that. But otherwise, I don't think I have anything else to add to what you've said, Darvesha. Halima, do you have something?
Well, I would just say I have great appreciation for the process of doing this. It's been, what was it, like 2.5 years or so in the works, and an enormous amount of thought and revision went in as we, so it was really a
process of evolution that has given birth to what we see now. The only thing that I can think to add from what both of you have said is that we also were hoping to emphasize that dance leading is an ongoing deepening process and that certification is not the end of anything but a commitment to an ongoing process. So.
Great. Thank you, both of you. Right. And thank you. So shall I introduce Malika?
Yes.
When do I introduce Malika? I like your idea, Lucinda, but I wasn't sure when to do it.
Now is the time.
Okay. Simply that, there's no way to, verbalize or to let people know the amount of volunteer time and service work that Malika did to this document. We all worked hard, but Malika she did so much more than any of us because she did an enormous and beautiful, beautiful job of editing and pulling together the bibliography and the resource materials. And she was at one time in her life a professional editor. And I don't know, maybe it's like if you go into an office, you should tell them you don't know how to make coffee. Because once we know she's an editor, she got stuck with it. Anyway, she didn't get stuck. She volunteered to do it. And that is why the document is really so aesthetically beautiful. And I really don't know how to thank her enough for that. But we all have, I just as much thank Halima and Tonson and all of us for working together in such a beautiful way for these 2.5 or 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's more like 3.
It is time.
Yeah. So.
So, and this is Lucinda again. I would like to add that in case we've invited people to reread the document before getting on this phone call, but in case you haven't, it probably takes less than an hour. It's 28 pages and beautifully written and very, very easy, wonderful reading. So, Malika, have you prepared something to say to us? Are you speaking off the cuff? Or
actually, Darvesh and I talked about doing a kind of round robin with questions and our responding, taking turns to respond to the questions. So I don't know that there is anything else that... Do you, Darvesha, that needs to be said?
No, I think we can. I think we can start with questions, and then didn't know Halima would be here till. Until recently, but now she is here.
Mm-hmm.
So let us. We'll take turns, three
mm-hmm.
of us.
Mm-hmm.
Each of us will be the first to answer the question, and then if the others want to chime in and add something, they will. The other two.
Mm-hmm. I'm happy
so we can
you guys to do it the way you talked about it initially, and I can just chime in if I have something to add. That's fine.
Okay. Do you prefer that? Because we'd love to have you answer first.
I'm happy to, leave it the way it's been arranged, and I'll add anything if I have something to add.
Right.
So as you do bring up a question, please say your name and where you're from. So let's open.
Okay, the floor is open for questions. So, as long as there's no question, there is one thing I would add is that, interestingly enough, a lot of the change we made, I can't count how many of just what an issue we were working on to refine came up in the network to the Guidance Council. over and over again, and it was as if fate was conspiring to help us get clarity on these issues one after another. You know, we got examples of everything, I think, that we were trying to clarify, and so it really helped us hone in. And on some of them, they came in later, and so we had to go back and revise. And but it was as if the universe was conspiring to help us do these guidelines.
Yeah.
So, does anybody have any questions?
This is Hira Fatah from Seattle. Do you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, great. I actually don't have a question. I actually just want to add that my experience in reading the document initially, and I reviewed it today also, is that this part two itself is a spiritual writing. And I like so much to have this, I mean, it's consolidated so many features that we need to orient new dancer leaders to, that I just want to say how grateful I am for what it brings to me as a resource for somebody who is mentoring new leaders. So just a big thank you.
Very good. For those who may not know, the part two is the elements of mastery. I guess that could be construed in what Hayat was saying, but just to clarify, it's the elements of mastery.
Right, Hira, I know you are, in fact, doing a dance leader training, and I know that some of us now have already been using these in trainings, and they're a wonderful tool for mentors who are training, which you just said, and I'm just simply reemphasizing.
This is Hayat in Alexandria, Virginia, and it's not exactly a question either. I just really appreciate that you included the piece about social responsibility and also about, I forget how it's put, but the role of the dance leader in in building the community and conflict resolution and that sort of thing, as part of that social responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
It's really great.
You know, thank you for bringing that up. It's something I should have put in my introduction. Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
We're definitely trying to put a new emphasis on that.
Yep.
Does everyone who is on the call have a copy of the guidelines in front of you, or no? Or I guess you'd have to all come out of mute to answer the question. I was wondering if there were folks on the call who do not have copies and would like to know exactly what that is, how we've said that. What do you think, Darvesha? Shall I read that?
Sure. I think we could.
It says, a dance leader does not lead in a vacuum, but in a mandala of dancers, musicians, and other leaders. It is expected that a dance leader who works in ongoing circles will become aware of a wide range of social responsibilities to the circle and to one's greater surroundings, and will attempt to become skillful at communication, conflict resolution, mediation, and team building. Dance leaders and mentors are encouraged to avail themselves of training in these interpersonal skills through workshops offered by the MTG or through other opportunities.
Well, it's Ginger Naria here. And I, too, I don't have a question more than just a comment of how I also just recently started a dance leader training in Nelson, British Columbia. 16 women there. We started last month. And part of my training manual that I sent out was the elements of mastery and the dance leader, the guidelines. And I find that absolutely and infinitely helpful and useful as I lead and help these new leaders refine skills and gain new skills. It's really powerful to go from just being a technical teacher to really walking with a group of people in that way that you were talking about, Darvesha, which brought tears to my eyes about mothering. You know, this mothering and service aspect is how that's coming about, and I'm finding that application in the moments as I'm doing it. So I can't thank you all enough for your time and effort in doing these and refining them. It's such a great gift to all of us as dance leaders and mentors. So thanks.
Thank you, Nuria.
Hello, this is Tasha Lee. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
Hi, this is Terry Hyatt from Canada. And I, again, don't have really a question, but I would like to thank everyone for putting their time and effort into this document. And I'd also like to say that I really appreciate the fact that it makes it a path, and that I started dancing probably about 20 years ago, and it's been my path, but they always said, well, you had to have a spiritual path, and I have been raised Christian, and I dabbled in Native Indian and Tarot, but I never really had a strong path, and I am a Sufi now, but it was just that dances was my first love, and I'm glad that you have made it into such a spiritual thing that I can say it is my path. Thank you.
Thank you.
Beautiful.
It's Ginger Nuri again. One of the questions that I have, you talked about how, and I was looking for this the other day, that there's no application form.
Right.
And and it's okay, I don't have any, you know, it's my question more is, do you have any guidance? I mean, it's like, if I'm a new mentees that come to me and I want more information, I mean, I always hold an individual interview. So it's really up to me. Would you say that it was up to the mentor to develop the list of questions and the any form that they want to be using to gain the information they need to take on a new mentee?
Monica,
well,
do you want to go first?
Yeah, I was going to say to begin that process, one could be guided by the what is required to stay in right relationship with the MTG secretariat, and that is to keep the records of your mentee's names, name, address, phone, e-address. That would be pretty obvious, I guess. And then beginning date of mentoring, dates of certification or mentor level changes, and any mentoring relationships that may have ended. Aside from that, I have made notes in my records. Actually, I created an application form years ago and had certain questions on it as to the person's relationship or history or experience with music, sound, voice work, for example. I'm not remembering everything that was on that application, but anything of interest, areas that the new mentee may have thought she or he was weak in, and that we might work together as mentor and mentee to develop further in those areas, that sort of thing. So keeping those records on one's own, or even creating informally the application form, as some of us did. back in those days, even though there was the uniform, so to speak, application in the guideline packet. Does that help?
It's helpful to, I've sort of been doing that when I do my interviews in general. These are the things that I really want to know about. Mm-hmm. And then looking through the guidelines as well. But sometimes I don't, the sitting down to actually create a document is sometimes it's helpful to have a template to go from. And that's just for me as a mentor. Maybe not everybody wants to go that way, but so in some ways I've already, I've been creating my own template about what do I really want to know, and mm-hmm. Like you said, Malika, with weak areas, how do we want to know those sorts of things and relationships to music and dancing, how long they've been dancing, what dances have they led, that sort of thing.
Right.
I was just, it was curious to me that, it's helpful to have that. It was helpful to me to have that piece of paper that I could send, and then I could, have the conversation after that piece of paper and the application form. But I'm not lobbying for it to be back in there. I'm just trying to sort through what kinds of things mm-hmm. people are looking, what kind of ways are people doing interviews and information are they gathering as new mentees come along. Because I've had a couple of problem or challenging individuals that, let's just leave it at that.
Mm-hmm. Well, of course, one could also use the former application, the one that we just now have deleted, and, edit it or recreate it to match what your needs are,
Yeah.
So you could start there if you wanted to have a little more guidance.
Okay, that's good. That's a good idea. I mean, that's probably what I was thinking about anyway. Is just having some. It was nice to just because of the heading of the Dances of Universal Peace and the International Network and having it look like an official sort of thing. Mm-hmm. But that's all that I want to say about that. It's just questioning and exploring.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
Halima, would you want to add anything?
Pardon?
Halima, would you want to add anything?
Well, I was trying to remember why we don't have it anymore.
I was too. I can't remember now.
Because Darvesha didn't want to have it anymore.
I suspect, as I'm listening, I feel like everything has a plus and a minus to it, and the minus side of having a an application form is it gives you the impression that it should be this way,
mm-hmm.
And that these are the questions you should ask. And I think that we were really wanting people to develop a relationship and to develop working relationships and and for mentors to explore inside what they have to offer and what they want to bring out and what they want, how they're going to create, work with someone. And so when you don't have a standardized form, it requires a little bit more searching inside one to think about what's really important to know.
Mm-hmm.
So, I feel like that's the plus side of not having a form. And I think we were also looking to, in some ways, it's when things stay around for a long time, they can become kind of automatic. And
mm-hmm.
so, I think I'm wanting to really keep these things living and current. And although having a templates that are suggestions and positive, and maybe this is something that would be added into, possible resource library if somebody wants something for ideas to work with. But I think that's what I could add to
mm-hmm.
kind of the plus side of not having it.
Right. And to follow on that, I recall in our earlier process with one another in our committee form, we felt to create more spaciousness and not so much a feeling of a form or a technical system. You know, we wanted to get away from not having this be a system, but to as you say, Halima, you know, to allow for more creativity and not have rules, but rather just the guidelines that would be needed in order to you know, follow this path and arrive at the stations of being able to be certified, or if one wanted, or becoming mentors. You know, just the guidelines that would be required in the process of the path, and we saw the application in that sense, just as you've already said, and I'm just adding that it just felt more spacious to not have another have to. So that's what I would add.
So I might suggest, I'm just Nuri again, I might suggest that, I mean, as a, you know, for like mentors in training, to, you know, not, I mean, we all, I mean, as we go along, we sort of develop our own, what do we want to know, but some sort of an information packet or something similar to the elements of mastery that has to do with mentoring. It's so, because we'll be training as it goes, as we go along, we'll also be training mentors. And so that, you know, those sorts of things might be, it might be helpful in the future to have some just, no, but I mean, I don't know how to say it, but just as resources for mentors.
Yeah.
Training.
Well, I would like to clarify that the elements of mastery is for the mentors. It's for
okay.
the dance leaders and mentors to continue in developing and deepening as dance leaders and mentors. That's not just, that section was not written just for dance leaders. So that's ongoing work as we see it.
Yes, and I agree with that. Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
So one thing is that the international the internet Dances of Universal Peace International is making a new website with a resource library that will include a section for dance leaders and mentors. And, you know, it's very possible, you know, we can take this idea back there and see, you know what we can grow with it.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Can I make a contribution here? This is Abraham.
Yes.
The question that Ginger Nuria raised about how to respond to an inquiry of a new mentee, it's a great question. And a question I'd like to put out is, as part of that initial meeting, inquiries about intention and motivation. You know, what does the new dance leader want to, you know, what's their inner intention in coming along this path? And my guess is that question will help assess the kind of long-term challenges that might come if somebody, you know, people may have some very, very strange intentions in terms of entering this path that might need to be addressed right at the start, and it puts the work of being a mentor with working with a mentee in the context of a growing relationship, where, you know, that it's not just the development of skills, but it's really a whole inner life that's being awakened in this path.
Yeah, I think that's well put.
Thanks, Abraham. I think that's really helpful. That's Nuri again. I think that's a really good step and question. I'll definitely put it in my box.
This is Hyra.
You hear me?
Hi, Hyra. Maybe there were two people coming in at the same time.
Okay, somebody else can go first, then. I've already spoken.
This is Tasha Lee, and I have not yet read the new documents because I've had a lot of transformation. I've got my entire life in the car, and I'm heading to Colorado. So I will read them because I'm very interested in understanding the new guidelines. But the question I have, two questions. One is, do you have trainings or mentor-teacher trainings or leader trainings that you have in the foreseeable future plan? That's one question. And then the second one is, I'm thinking I might have to take this offline and talk with one of you because as the Children's Global Peace Project is bringing the dancers into schools, I have previously offered people two levels of experiencing the dancers that they could choose to take the dances as a serious endeavor, that they would become a certified dance leader, or they would choose to lead the dances in the classroom, like teachers that we've worked with are interested in learning to teach the dances, but not necessarily learning to become a dance leader to lead a dance circle, but more so to use them in their classroom to experience peace with children. And given that, I haven't read the guidelines, I'm wondering if you have anything to comment about that right now. And I bet there's going to be a much larger conversation that I would really like to have.
Yes, I think it is a larger conversation, but I would like to say that we talked about, the Guidance Council has talked about this being, the training of mentors being another phase of our work. Darvisha, do you want to elaborate on that? Are you there?
I'm here. Why don't you continue, and I'll add after.
Well, one of the ways we were envisioning doing this is we have just come to that time when we haven't really had full discussions. So this is a two-year-old kind of conversation I'm reporting from when I'm saying this, but it seems likely that in some fashion, there would be the mentors and the guidance council would either go to camps. One or two of them may go to a camp and hold meetings with the mentors, or we would want to train other mentors so that they might move, they could move around, that they would feel excited about doing this training, and start out grassroots and go to the ever enlarging circles of mentors being trained. When there was the financial episode with Oneness losing its ability to support the vision that we were beginning to develop, we're not quite sure how this can happen. is there anything else that came out of that? Halima, do you recall anything else that could be added?
Well, I think this is, phase two.
Mm-hmm, that's what
and
I'm
we've saying. Just finished phase one.
Mm-hmm.
So that, what's really on our plate is, it's not the only thing on the plate, but, on the horizon is the kind of looking at how, not just training of mentors, but what are the different ways to support training of dance leaders,
mm-hmm.
which is part of training mentors. And, I think it may be, we really haven't, I'm sure that each one of us has a lot of ideas about how we can go forward. And so, I think our next step will be to gather some of those ideas in the Guidance Council and also tap the bigger community for what's needed.
Yeah, I was going to say that we are open to you all who are on this call. I think most of you are pretty engaged. I think that's why you're on this call, and we'd be interested in your. Please feel free to write us in any of those kind of suggestions or what you think would be helpful.
Thank you.
Thank you, Tasha Lee.
And this is Lucinda again from Wyoming. We're talking about the mentor-teacher, the MTG guidelines, but also along with this publishing of the new guidelines, there's also establishing really of a new focus for the organization on the international level, which includes a new staff and new board members, and also a new appeal to all the teachers, dance leaders around the world to contribute, and that become the source of funding for the MTG and the international organization. And I'd like to address that a little bit. It's one line in the, one short paragraph in the guidelines is, I don't know where it is now, but saying that to be a dance leader, it's the guild we're talking about, the Leaders Guild, and that the Leaders Guild would be include all teachers, all dance leaders around the world, and that they should all be expected to contribute financially to the central organization. And it didn't outline in the guidelines of how people can do that. So I wanted to say that for people in the North American region, all you have to do is send your dues into North America, and then that gets forwarded automatically.
Yeah, just to clarify, the Leaders Guild is comprised of all mentored dance leaders, and they do automatically become a member of the Leaders Guild, every mentored dance leader. And also, I think it has been confusing, the part about the guild fee suddenly cropping up as an entity in that paragraph about the Leaders Guild. That's a new terminology. That is new terminology. And so just to the way I'm looking at it, Lucinda, and please correct me if I have misconstrued this, but the guild fee is really a percent of the membership fee, which is paid to the international organization from the regions. Is that correct? It is a percent that each region?
No, it's not a percent. It's $30 per teacher going
it's
to international.
Amount. It's an amount.
Yes, as okay. a minimum. And then then also the teachers should know that since, as you said, the Oneness Project funds that have been supporting some of these projects have disappeared, that is it the teachers that should be supporting the projects that may come up from the new international and MTG?
Well, and hopefully
so
these
it's
projects
like,
support the teachers.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the idea here.
I have just felt that it's important that people, dance leaders, mentored dance leaders, understand that there's not an additional fee called the guild fee, that is a portion of the fee that the regular membership fee.
So in the past, it's always been that way. It still is. In the past, a percent went to international from the regions. And that's still what's happening. But we are no longer, international is no longer receiving a percent of all memberships of the region. Only the $30 fee do they receive now, only from mentored leaders. So in the past, IN International received money from the regions for every member. Now we've cut that number by far because we are not taking from the regions any money for memberships of non-dance leaders. We are only asking for $30 from the regions for each dance leader, a mentored leader. So we have done this, you know, for a lot of reasons, but the hope is that we leaders who love this work, we will support this work. If we love this work, then it's up to us to support it. The restructuring of the international organization, we've kind of, in our minds, I think, we are kind of, what we're, the way we're, the construct is that the international now organization is really existing. I think it initially was designed to this, but it seems to have gone off course. But the international organization is mainly constructed to support the work of the dance lineage through the Mentor Teachers Guild and the Leaders Guild. In other words, the international organization now is there to support us, the Leaders Guild. It is for us and by us, and we also, of course, have to reciprocate. And so all of the resources that we want as dance leaders and that we need and that can be helpful to us, we will find, hopefully, eventually, on the new website as it's being created, and in the relationships with the board members and with our mentors and so forth. So that's us. Then what is left is the regional organizations in whatever form they arise, and they are addressing the dancers. They're letting everybody know what dancers are. Of course, that supports the leaders, but anyway, they let the dancers know what's happening and where they can go, and they are there to support dancers and dancer development and in that way. So what we as leaders have to support us is the international organization. Now, that might be an oversimplification. Of course, I don't mean to say that the regions aren't supporting dance leaders. As I say, as they support the region, they are supporting the dance leaders. But the general idea is that the international organization is primarily there to serve the two guilds, the Mentor Teachers Guild and us, all of us in the Leaders Guild. So if you love this work and if you have mentees who love this work, please, please ask them if they would be so kind as to show up with the $30, which is not very much, actually, but we're hoping that, you know, and we're changing the fee structure in other ways, too, because we have less members in North America now because dancers in North America don't pay dues to us, but we are also asking people who have not had to pay dues, for instance, dance leaders in foreign countries, Rouhaniyat members, people like that, we are also asking them to pay the $30. We're asking every mentored leader to pay a $30 guild fee. So we don't have to go into how they pay if they're not in a region, but even people in regions will also be paying $30 to each other, to the leaders' guild, to the organization.
Sarvesha, what I think is still unclear for me, I don't know if others might have this unclarity, so it would be good right now for you to help us out. When you say that IN is asking for every mentored leader to pay a guild fee, this sounds like the $30 or whatever amount that's going to be by regions, some will be different, that's on top of the membership fee. That's what is unclear to me. I thought, as I was discussing with Lucinda a few minutes ago, that there is a portion of each person's membership fee that will come from the region too, and that would be called the guild fee, that portion. So could you clarify that? Are we paying an additional $30?
No. You were correct in emphasizing. I was glad that you emphasized that. No, that's
okay.
No, $30 okay. Out of the regional fee. I think what's confusing is that I mentioned there are dance leaders who are not in regions, and
mm-hmm.
they will be paying us directly $30
mm-hmm.
because they don't go through a region.
Mm-hmm. So really, in terms of the dance leaders and the mentors, they don't need to necessarily be involved with even knowing where the portions go. Not to mean that they can't know it. I'm just saying it's just that they pay their membership. We need dance leaders to please pay their membership fees so that these guild fees, this portion, can be paid to IN so that it can support work like training the mentors and other things. So, the bottom line is that we would like all the mentored leaders, and we need help from the mentors to encourage their mentees and other dance leaders to please be current with their membership fees.
Good. Are there any more questions on this topic? This is Lucinda again. I have a question. So now we have two guilds, Mentor Teachers Guild and Leaders Guild. Will there be leadership in the Leaders Guild? There could be a steering committee or something set up that would make that a body that would have some kind of meetings or some kind of business activity, or is that only a subset of the Mentor Teachers Guild?
I think it's the other way around. The MTG is a subset of the Leaders Guild. Everyone's part of the Leaders Guild.
Not just the dance leaders. All mentored leaders.
Right, including mentors.
Does that make sense, Lucinda?
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But it could have a steering committee, or is maybe
steering,
that's what the Mentor Teachers Guild is.
Well, the steering committee would be the guidance council.
Okay.
I think one thing is that we've found that the most dancing mostly want to dance,
right.
and interest in administrative things and meetings is not that... it's not the driving force for most of us. And so one of the, I feel like we did an awful lot of house cleaning to try to simplify things and to focus much more on transmission and training and growing and holding circles and holding people as we kind of grow from the dances and kind of less on the and wanted to really support the administrative bodies and the kind of functional bodies that already exist. So there's, lots of opportunity for leaders to participate in regional networks and opportunities for mentors to be more active in the G. So I think that the Leaders Guild is more a body where everyone has a voice than a place where we need to create more meetings.
Mm-hmm.
That's my personal feeling about it.
From the welcome letter, we have All mentored leaders agree to take personal responsibility for the dances and walks transmission. The Mentor Teachers Guild protects and nurtures the growth and development of the work through training and mentoring dance leaders, and the Leaders Guild represents the work. And this doesn't exclude the MTG, who are also leaders, right? Leaders Guild represents the work. The MTG does the steering or training or the development or the guiding. The guiding of the work.
Thank you. That's beautiful. Any more questions? When we hear bells ringing, we think maybe someone's unmuting and ready to have a question.
I think people are leaving. It's been more than an hour.
Actually, okay. This is Hayat, and I kind of fell off the call, and then when I tried to call back in, it said all the circuits were busy, so I had to wait a few minutes.
Oh.
And actually, we have more people than we had even just like 30 minutes ago. We have 25 people, including me, on the call. And I just wanted to say that it occurs to me, as I was looking at the guidelines, that that there may be some areas to focus on for future teleconferences, like to really structure a call around how do we a certain section of the guidelines, like the social responsibility piece, and you know, with people perhaps participating who could you know, just talk about their examples of what they've done with their leading and with their circle and things like that. So that's just a thought, and if anybody has any suggestions for what we can talk about related to these guidelines for future calls, that would be great.
I think
that's
it would
fabulous
be too.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, that's a great idea, and I had already spoken to Lucinda about having one of these telecons for just North American mentors and mentors in training, so we could all, you know, that would be a beginning place for us to begin working with mentors and mentors in training more deeply.
Yeah, that's great.
But I love that idea of focusing on the social responsibility, because I mean, we have one paragraph and it's, you know, it's only pointing in a direction, and we talked early on that was an area that we really want to amplify once we got the guidelines out of the door, that was an area we really want to return to. To find a way to do trainings give resources to leaders and mentors in that area.
Thanks.
Halima, you might want to chime in here.
Oh, I think yes. I agree. I feel like any one of these elements of mastery, you know, is a huge way to be developed and to cultivate within ourselves. And you know, I feel like the guy in working on the guidelines again, you know, it was when we say we're looking to expand or to emphasize or de-emphasize the kind of mechanical or technical aspects of dance leading, we know that we're working with people, you know, that the dancers are, you know, at least have the potential to be profoundly transformative. And so a dance leader is kind of holding a crucible of, you know, in which is the, you know, dance, but it's also the people who are present as part of the medium of that, you know, that's getting worked with. So it's a huge. It doesn't mean that, you know, you go to a dance thinking you're gonna make something happen, but it's paying attention to what is happening. And, you know, so it's a huge area or arena to grow with. And, you know, for me, it's one of the reasons why the dances are, you know, an ongoing path of personal growth.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yeah.
So we're at an hour and 11 minutes. I think we can start to wrap up. Malika, do you have anything you want to?
Well, I just feel very appreciative that there has been this interest this afternoon, and that I feel inspired that we have a little spark here, and look forward to manifesting some of the ideas, the mentor training especially, and training in the social responsibility areas that have tried to get off the ground at different times. I know you've had different telecons in the past where some of these issues have been tried to come up and envisioned in some way, or how could the work be envisioned? I think this is great. This is good timing that that there has been this inquiry on social responsibility, especially. And just thank you to everyone. Really appreciate your participation this afternoon.
Thank you, Malika.
Mm-hmm.
And Halima, do you have something else to wrap up with?
Just that, you know, it's after doing this work for 3 years, it's really gratifying to see it be received and to feel like we're, you know, that we were in sync or you know, helpful. So I'm really grateful that it's being received with, you know, so much openness. And, you know, I hope that people continue to give us feedback about what will be helpful and most useful. And constructive criticism is always nice, too. And I think we're, you know, really the feedback process and questions are help all of us grow. So, you know, I'm grateful that I could join the telecon today and grateful to have been part of the process.
Thank you, Halima. And Darvesha?
Oh, I just have to echo what Malika and Halima have said. It's very gratifying, and I thank you all so much for participating and being enthusiastic, and it will help us give us juice for the next step. Thank you.
Well, I'd like to end the call with a quote from my favorite part of the guidelines, page 9, under the topic of heart. And maybe as I read this, we can all breathe together and then say our goodbyes. Either if you're still unmuted, you can say your goodbyes out loud. And if you're muted, you could just say your goodbyes with your heart. But this is a quote.
Lucinda, it's Hayat. I just wanted to say that before we leave, we might want to just mention that we're having the second telecon on Sunday, the 13th, in case anyone, you know, thinks of a new question or has someone that they want to recommend, you know, get on the call on Sunday. And that's, 3 p.m. Pacific time and 4 p.m. Mountain, 5 p.m. Central, 6 p.m. Eastern, et cetera. So I just thought I'd mention that it's the same call-in number. And so if you want to download the recording of tonight's call, that's the other piece that you have to do the downloading prior to the Sunday call because it'll be recorded over. And we had sent out, you know, the information about how to do that. And also the recording of tonight's call will be on the North American website. So I just wanted to kind of get that in really quick before people started to say goodbye and hang up afterwards.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Hayat. Hayat is also on the board of directors for the North American region. So the quote is, "When you sing, feel the sound resonate in the heart. As you breathe in rhythm, feel the awareness in the heart." So with that heart-centered feeling, we could take a few breaths together and say our goodbyes, and thank you all for being on the call.
Thank you, Lucinda.
Yeah, thank you, Lucinda. Thank you.
Thank you, everybody.
It's good to be with you all again.
Everyone, for their very, very appreciated. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Ciao.
May all beings be well.